College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, announcement. 8:30 tomorrow in studio. Kevin Stefanski.
Good friend of the show, head coach, two-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski.
Will he bring the awards in with him?
Hey, I'm Cruton.
Like he has the heavyweight belt and the Intercontinental Championship at the same time.
I'm Cruton for Streetsboro football, you know me.
You're gonna have him make a video?
Nah, I shouldn't do that, should I? I was going to ask you if I should,
but
I shouldn't
do that. Who's made a video so far?
Every other Browns player you know make one.
Wyatt got me one. Wyatt's great, man. What a guy.
He was in the woods, right?
Yeah, he's in the woods.
I didn't hear it, but I saw him in the woods.
I'm sure there had to be some dead animal at his feet, which was fantastic. Wyatt, Rodney, Joe, that's all I asked.
Bernie!
Shut up! It's coming up soon.
Crud. Bernie, my father-in-law, Bernie.
I was going to say, I got another one up.
You should probably know what you're talking about.
I am, because I know there's Steelers fans in my community. I am working on one. I'm trying. We'll see.
Did you get Zastadil?
He's in another community.
I know.
But doesn't he do stuff with that community?
It's not like you're stealing dudes from 45 minutes away.
Yeah, but if they see it in the other community, like, why aren't you doing it in our community? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, if only he knew someone that lived in that community.
People get odd about that stuff, man.
That for him.
Just saying, like, Joe lives up in Wisconsin. I don't care about the people up in Wisconsin. I'm sure there's nice people up there, but I don't care about their youth football. All right, can I just say this real quick? So I said, I'm rooting for Shador. Real Xavier P on Twitter. Twitter action is brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Man, Ken isn't cheering for Shador. He's cheering against Watson. He's more likable once you realize the perception isn't reality. Listen, I liked Shador before. I like Shador now. I am rooting for Shador. It's not because I'm cheering against Watson. I don't need to cheer against Watson. I don't take him seriously as a quarterback anymore. Why do I need to, as a viable option for the Browns, why do I need to cheer against a guy like
Judy
that?
Judy does. He's playing catch with him.
You could play catch with anybody. My dad smoked like a chimney back in the day. He played catch with me. He wasn't going to play quarterback for the Browns.
I thought you were going to say he'll smoke with anybody.
Were you the leading wide receiver for your team?
No. Okay. But I'm just saying, you can play catch with anybody.
Maybe play with the guy that you think's going to be the starting quarterback.
I'm sure they've played catch together. He and Shador Sanders or Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel.
Do they all get equal time?
I can't just keep saying these names every single time. It's like the Aqua Teen Hunger Force Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I can't keep saying these names. Can we find a nickname for the four quarterbacks in revival for this quarter, vying for this quarterback
job?
Some
say five. Some say you can't put a restriction on
one of those people.
Deshaun
is Mary Kay Cabot, who has been on our show and says it all the time.
But no, he's not vying to be the week one starter. He ain't vying to be the week one starter. The issue about the Watson stuff, I'm cheering against not talking about him. That's what I'm cheering against. But if she reports that, it's like, okay, I have a duty to talk about it. Yeah, I can't just sit there and avoid everything. So that's what I'm cheering against. I'm cheering for Shador Sanders. You know why I'm cheering for Shador Sanders? I'd like to use those two first-round picks on something else. I'd like one of my favorite football players ever, his son, to be a great player for the Cleveland Browns. Yes, there is some fanboy in that. Yes. He's got things that he has to overcome, certainly. Yeah, why wouldn't I root for Shador Sanders? Why wouldn't I want Shador Sanders to do well? Or Dylan Gabriel, for that matter. I know Lima just doesn't think anything of him, but I want one of them to do well. And Kenny, I mean, begrudgingly. It is what it is. And maybe he'll be a surprise. Maybe I'll wake up with my face sewn to the carpet. One of those things. But yeah, that's just where I stand on that. I root for not having to talk about QBs that aren't going to be part of the future. Dylan Gabriel, whether Lima likes it or not, is in the running to be a part of the future. And sure as hell, Shador Sanders is too. That's what I root for. More than likely, we're going to have to use those two first-round picks on a quarterback next year. I'm not trying to lie to you. I ain't trying to be stupid. I know what the score is. But maybe one day the sun shines on the dog's ass and all of a sudden we got that guy, that great story of the guy that came out of nowhere. We get our very own version of the guy who nobody thought was going to be good, who ends up being good. Or we'll go back to the drawing board, like we more than likely will. 216-474-0092. Joe Orsarski is going to join us coming up at 9:22 this morning. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will have him on for a couple of minutes. Does everybody else think as highly of Evan Mobley as we do? That's all coming up. Let me get to the phones here. You say divisions don't matter, but let me twist this for a second. You say divisions don't matter, but with the one twist here, Tone, you want to bring up what about these divisions? Because for a second, you kind of buttressed up against a conversation there that I kind of liked about what about making the divisions bigger? I'm up for expanding. Like, if you want to cut it down to three or two divisions and you play more of those teams,
you mean
fine.
Two divisions in each conference. So we're at four divisions.
If you wanted to do that, how many teams are in each conference?
What I was thinking is
16.
Yeah, what I was thinking.
So two 8-team divisions.
So you play 16 games against two divisions.
If we're staying at 14 in the playoffs, you'd go top three in each division and then one wild card, the fourth is.
Can't you do three divisions?
Yeah, I know that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I'd like to have three divisions.
Scheduling-wise with 18 games, though, that really screws things up.
I know, it does.
Well, it's all going to be screwed up anyway. And right now, they've just, in tacking on an extra game, they just said, all right, there's going to be one other crossover game that will add. Some seasons you'll have eight home games. Some seasons you'll have nine, right? That's what they've done to get to 17 games. So they've already taken the precision out of it. It's just you have the same schedule as everybody in your division, and you have the same math of everybody in your conference for the most part. But I don't know that that's even that necessary. The more you expand the season and go to 18 games, I think we just throw our hands up in the air and say the schedules aren't going to be equal.
But that's what they did in college football, too. I mean, when we were kids, it was 10 teams are in a conference, and that's it. And then, you know, we went to 14 teams in a conference, and you don't get to play the same guys that you always used to play.
Yeah.
And it is going to suck the first year or two, and then we'll get used to it.
It is going to be different. I just know that in sports, and this is kind of unfortunate, honestly. I would say, Ken, this kind of backs your argument a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In sports in general, we have all decided as fans, we're just going to argue about championships. That's what's going to matter the most. If you don't get to the Super Bowl, then we're going to make fun of you, even if you win the MVP. We're going to make fun of Lamar Jackson. We're going to make fun of Josh Allen, even though they're amazing, and we would do anything we could to get those guys as our quarterbacks. But that's the debate culture. That's where we're at as fans. But has he gotten to the Super Bowl? And then when you do, has he won the Super Bowl? Well, he's won one. Well, has he won back-to-back Super Bowls? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have lessened the value in everyday conversation anyway of what it means to win a division. Because in the end, like, even if, like, let's say we had Baker Mayfield and he's winning the AFC North for the first time. All right, that first time, it'll be amazing. After that, it's going to be like, all right, but what about the playoffs? Like, what are you doing in the playoffs? Where are your achievements in the playoffs? So I just don't know that today's sports culture in general cares as much about divisions.
Which bothers me because
I know,
as a person,
I know.
And I know I'm one of the sad minority of I'm a fan of a team that hasn't won a division since 1989. If I grew up in Pittsburgh, if I grew up in Baltimore, if I grew up in, but now it's got to be Kansas City. The other one's like, that's old hat. If you were Pittsburgh, how many divisions has Pittsburgh won since we've all been around? Probably a bunch 15, since 99. Yeah. That's
between them and Baltimore.
It's kind of old hat. I'd love to win a division. Like, we would celebrate. I'd probably bring in drinks in here if we won a division. I don't think I could talk about that on the air. I think we'd be boozing in here if we won a division. I'm dead ass about that. By the way, do I need to get rid of that? That saying?
Dead ass?
Yeah. I got it from the Let Me Be Dead Ass With You Brother meme on social media.
Thank you.
Sounds like I got
to
get rid of it. Yeah, I'm getting rid of it. Sorry. Nick in Cleveland, you're next up on the fan. Hello.
Kenneth, dead ass. I'm 28. Lima, under 30. You're kind of an idiot, Lima. Normally, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I like where this is going.
But, you know, here's the thing. What is Baskin talking about? Why is he talking shit with you, Ken?
Whoa!
You can't, Nick. Ken, all right. Sorry. I'll table that. I'll call tomorrow.
But you still can't say that word tomorrow. We don't get a free cussing Friday.
Call it 48 minutes.
My bad, fam. So here's the thing. Divisions are actually very important. I think the NFL has made it unique that we care about the divisions.
All right.
Nobody, you know, Lyman, you were saying, well, there's only three other teams that you beat. Who gives a crap? You know, really, who gives a crap? I love talking to my white trash neighbors down in Cincinnati. I love talking to the white trash neighbors in Pittsburgh. And I really hate the team that we should be in Baltimore, especially their fans, because they don't give a crap about the history and why they got them, even though their team left first. You know, and it should matter to them. But the problem is that we don't care that the Indians play four or five teams. We don't care that the Cavs are in four or five teams in the division. They don't matter. But in the NFL, the culture, the rivalry, everything that matters, you know, think of Joe Hayden being traded to Pittsburgh, how PO'd everybody was a few years ago, because that was our guy. I just think that divisions are unique. And Lima, you said, God, all September, how the rivalries don't mean anything in the Big Ten anymore. This is different. It's just a very slippery wizard.
I think you're right. Because let me tell you this, Nick. Let me say this, and thank you very much for the call and backing me up on this. And I know we got to get going here. If you take away the divisions, you know damn well, like the whole, remember the Thanksgiving argument years ago? Now the Lions are good. No one thinks about it. Like, should the Lions be hosting on Thanksgiving?
I wanted them off.
And I think when you mess with these sort of things, it's only a matter of time. Like, oh my God, we only got one technically big game, and that's 9:30 in the morning in London. You know, there'd be a matter of time. Okay. Yeah. Pittsburgh, you guys play them twice a year. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey man, we got TV ratings to deal with and there's no divisions anymore. And we decided to put Pittsburgh up against Kansas City this year. And you're only going to play Pittsburgh once. It only takes a minute to erode that. They'll do anything for ratings. They'll do anything for ratings. Hey, we gave them another London game, and you guys are only going to play Baltimore once.
But what,
don't want to do that.
I know we got to go. What Nick just said, I do think that is true for a lot of people here, even though we haven't won the division in so long. Do you think that's true throughout the NFL? Do they care? Because we at Baltimore was the Browns, so I understand why there's that. Cincinnati, well, that goes without saying. Two teams in Ohio, same colors. We know the heritage. We know about Paul Brown. That's just not happening elsewhere. And obviously, Pittsburgh, Cleveland is the same type of a city, you know.
I understand.
So is that the case everywhere else? Do people care about the divisions all around the
divisions?
NFL?
The divisions protect our traditions that we like. I cannot leave it up to the NFL to protect our traditions. Pacers Knicks played yesterday. I just sat there and let it wash all over me. Watched it, enjoyed it. More bitter about the Cavs than I am either of those two teams. There's no hate in my heart for the Indiana Pacers. There's no hate in my heart right now for the New York Knicks. It's New York, so at some point I'm sure there will be hate in my heart, but I got no hate in my heart for either one of those teams.
I kind of loved what Halliburton did to MSG yesterday.
I liked it too. I'm just more bitter about the Cavs. And so, you know, while you're mad about the Cavs, why not trade away the future of the franchise and Evan Mobley? Who's willing to take Evan Mobley? Boy, people are getting mad. Who's willing to take Evan Mobley? Well, let's welcome in Jim Osarski. He is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Giannis is open to leaving Milwaukee, correct?
I don't know if it's that specific. I think every summer, guys, I'll be honest, since probably 2018, he has positioned himself to want to be, I don't want to say convinced or reconvinced, but just to hear the plan, what's the plan? You know, he has said some version of, well, if the Bucks ownership doesn't want to win, then maybe I should play elsewhere. He has said some version of that publicly on the record, at least for four seasons or five. So,
really?
I understand the national sort of aspect, but at least locally, guys, this is not really news. I will add, the difference is all of those other years, the Bucks have been the number one team in the East, right? They have been a one seed, a two seed. They've regressed. obviously the last 2 years, down to a 5 seed this year. So there, I do want to say that while this is sort of regular for him, the context is different in that the team has gotten worse. And I think that's what makes the summer a little different in terms of what the Bucks need to do or say to him to say, hey, we're still, you know, we can still get back to those 50 plus wins to a top 3 seed. What that plan is, of course, I don't know, but it is a little different in that way, which makes it, you know, a little more interesting, I guess, for the locals and then also obviously on a national level.
Jim, is it dispiriting right now to have so many talking heads around the sport referring to the types of trades that they think the Bucks would be okay to? Because I always imagine this happened when we had LeBron. It annoyed the ever-living you-know-what out of us.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, if you've lived it locally, it is, it is what it is, I guess, when you have either the best player or the second-best player in the league. And as you just said, if you've lived it, for someone like myself, it's just a matter of what do you know to be true or what do your sources say? So I can kind of skate, I guess, under that a little bit, but for the fan bases, right? It does get that anxiety ratchets up. And look, Giannis could have said at the end of the year, I'm under contract for 2 more years, I'm committed. And then none of this happens. He chose not to do that. And over the years, he has rarely chosen to do that. The only time he does, guys, is when he signs his contract extensions, which he has done 3 times. So actions over words, I guess. And so if Bucks fans for sure are angsty you're right, though. Like in terms of what I have to do, it's just, hey, you report and you report what you know. And then you just kind of go from there.
Jim Ossarski joining us here on the show. So like if you in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So if you were to like, because when LeBron was here, it's like LeBron and everybody else, right? In the city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where does he like rank in terms of power with the fans?
Oh, it has definitely been, he's been in that top spot. I would say even surpassed Aaron Rodgers to a degree. And when Aaron was sort of at the end, but winning MVPs. Look, the Bucks are still the number 3 franchise in this state. It's Packers, it's Brewers, and it's Bucks. Even with Giannis, even with a recent championship, but Aaron wasn't the type of personality, let's say, that Giannis was. And Giannis is connected a little bit more with the fan base here. Baseball, guys in baseball don't really flex like that. So yeah, Aaron tried, right? He did his best.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To wield, what power he did. But yeah, Giannis for sure. Look, we started this saying he's done this before, and it's always resulted in the organization answering the call, meaning trading draft picks through 27 for Jrue Holiday. Then they win a title. Then the team starts to kind of slip, and then, they trade Jrue and draft picks out to 30 for Damian Lillard. Like, he's done this, and then the team has responded, and so now we're kind of doing the dance again as he effectively has 2 years left on his contract.
Evan Mobley is obviously the name that lately has been making the rounds. In talking to people in your area, do they seem to be interested at all in Evan Mobley?
I don't know any specific names. All I can say is first of all, Giannis has never requested a trade. All of my reporting up until this last week is he is very happy in Milwaukee and really doesn't want to leave here. This is just sort of the flexing of, I have this ability to apply pressure to my team, so this is what I'm going to do. So let's say that. So there's no request as of yet. If there were to be, and ownership, and you all are familiar with the Haslams, and I don't think Jimmy and Dee are really quick to capitulate to trade requests. I think we the Browns went through something like that in the summer, right? Not too long ago. Co-owner Wes Edens also is not really someone. So, okay, so a request is made. Let's just, now we got to say ownership's going to agree. I don't know if even, if they're going to trade this guy to the East, I think there's a conference tax, meaning you're going to have to pay more than a Western Conference team because now we got to see this dude four times a year and maybe in the playoffs. And I don't think the Bucks, while they might be somewhat sentimental with their franchise player, I think they would be trying to take anything and everyone from whatever team they would make a deal for. And I realize Evan's kind of bumping up in some salary here, but it's still Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's still a two-time MVP, a guy who's just 30 years old. It would be your best players, plural, and then everything else you have. And I don't know with the Mitchell trade, guys, you'd have to remind me, I don't know if the Cavs have much. And it's not to disrespect Evan.
We don't. No, talent, no, we don't.
And this includes all the teams. Like, and I think some of this guy leans into the Kobe, the Kobe stuff from 2007 when he was ready to leave LA, wanted to go to Chicago, and the Lakers like, okay, well, great. Well, we're taking this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. And Kobe's like, well, then I don't want to go because they're going to be worse. So I guess I'll just stay. So I think there's, so I think some of that may come into play as well because the Bucks at that point are going to say what's best for us. And then it may end up being that what's best for us is everybody just stays put.
Just one final one for me, Jim. You mentioned Jimmy Haslam. Obviously, our fans are talking about Jimmy on a daily basis. Is he a name that's coming up daily? And does anybody blame him in the ownership group for what has gone on in Milwaukee now that it looks like the championship window has stalled or gone away?
I think, well, generally speaking, fans do tend to go, to blame ownership in whatever form or fashion. And yeah, ownership in general has taken some shots because it's, you know, they're the ones that have fired coaches. They're the ones who have traded Jrue Holiday or traded Chris Middleton, another franchise legend here, which is not really the case. I mean, we talk about a franchise player's power and leverage plays. Like, ownership isn't really making all – they have to sign off on it, but they're not really making these calls, so to speak. Jimmy came in, and, yeah, he spent him and Dee spent $800 million. They have a say. But the way the NBA works is, you know, as you guys know, they've got the governor, right? And Wes Edens is the governor. He's the one who has final say. He's the voice for the Bucks in the league. And so Wes is the one driving the ship, as he has for the better part of a decade. And frankly, guys, like, since Jimmy and Dee have bought in, I mean, they've spent, I think, $100 million, or I'm trying to do the math real quick, $90 million in luxury taxes. They've hired a coach at $10 million a year. They traded for Damian Lillard on a max deal. So, like, in terms of putting money where your mouth is, that the Haslams haven't really spoken. They're not controlling the string. So, but they did come in and say, hey, we want to win. And so actions over words again, I guess, guys, like, the money has been spent, moves have been made, but you are right though. It's inevitable. People have emailed me, social media. Well, hey, what's their role? The Browns are bad. Are the Bucks now bad because of this? And I think it's an inevitable thing. I don't know, though, if he's really or if the Haslams as a group are really catching too many strays, because I think people here know this is Giannis's kind of deal. And ownership since 2022, guys, they have spent almost $1 billion in luxury taxes and salary. It's kind of hard for either Giannis to say they haven't tried or fans to say they haven't tried. They've frankly been one of the highest spending teams in the league the last, you know, 5-6 years.
Jim, we thank you very much for the time. We thank you very much for the insight. Take care and hope to talk to you again soon.
That sounds good, guys. Talk to you then.
Thank you. Jim Ossarski from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. boy, it didn't seem like Evan Mobley. That's interesting. It didn't seem like Evan Mobley was too enticing. Like,
no.
Like we were listening to Bill Simmons and the people on the Ringer who were going, oh, yeah, make the run up there and make the trade. And I think a lot of Giannis Antetokounmpo, obviously, he's a three-time MVP. And I think Evan has a ceiling that maybe not be three-time MVP, but a ceiling that's close to comparable. And he, no, you're going to need to come more.
I think it's because the first thing they'll do is they'll Google Evan Mobley's name. They'll look at what his stats are, and it's 18.5 and 9.3 a game.
Yeah.
Which is good, but they have Giannis. They have Giannis who can average basically 38 and 8.
But Evan's
instantly.
Evan's never going to have the opportunity to get there with this current iteration
with this
of the
team,
Cavs. Yeah.
Yeah, with Donovan and his usage, Darius touching the ball as much as he does. You're probably right. You'd think maybe Defensive Player of the Year might be of interest, but I don't think the typical fan does not look at it that way, especially in today's NBA, even though defense is obviously so big in the playoffs. They don't seem to look at it that way.
I mean, you're betting big on the future in so many ways if you're Milwaukee. I mean, my opinion has changed a bit because he poured cold water all over the thing. You're betting on a lot of Evan Mobley. You're betting on developing him even more, and he's been in the league for a few years now. He's still so young. He's only 23 years old. You're betting on so much that he's going to become that guy. Giannis and him, like, there is a difference. Giannis, physically bigger. I think Giannis, certainly, obviously more mature just because of the age and because of how his circumstances are coming in, different from Evan Mobley's. I also, you know, it's almost a two in the hand, one in the bush thing. Like, if you let go of Giannis, like, that is a guy, if he's number one in that city, that's a tough thing to let go of. I mean, I wonder if, in his estimation, I wish I would have asked him this, but I just thought of it. Does the Nico Harrison, Luka Doncic trade, like, does that scare any of these other teams? They were carrying fake caskets,
mm-hmm.
like homemade caskets to the building. Now, well, that's about to change because they got the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
But Luka was a big, big deal in Dallas, and they traded him. And it's like, man, do you really want that? Because Evan will be really good, you believe. But is he ever going to be as good as Giannis?
Probably not.
Okay. So there you go. Maybe you'd just like to run this string out and then see where it goes from there. That's the reality that we might have to deal with. While it seems like, oh, yeah, I mean, Giannis coming here. Because I still say
college football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The window is the same no matter what. If you keep Evan, I think it's 2 years. If you went and got Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's 2 years. I don't think the window really changes. So even if you keep the guy, like I think so many people, no, let's keep this nucleus together. The window as they are, it's 2 years. I don't think that's changing. But for them, if they're going, okay, if we only got 2 more years left on his contract,
I mean,
we'll just keep him and we'll see what we can do.
They have had him for 12 years. You
yes,
know,
they have.
We had LeBron for 7. And we lost our collective minds. He's been there 12 years, and he's won a championship already.
I need a nickname here. I said Flacco, Pickett, Dylan, and Sanders is too long. We really don't call him Sanders, call him Shador, don't we?
Way too many Sanders is not as many Shadors.
Yeah, he's Shador. Yeah.
Someone wrote the She 4. The Four Horsemen. I got Reflog tweeted at me. The Mining 4Ws.
Oh, we got one better than all these, but you won't let me tweet it or say it.
No, I'm not. You better. You can.
It's by far the best one.
No, don't do it. Don't say it. Don't do it.
Oh, would you like to know?
No, I'm telling you right now. Don't do it.
I am very interested in what it could be.
I I'm serious about this. I'm recusing myself of any responsibility.
I don't know what it is. I just want to know.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we got a text. I don't want to talk about it.
I didn't get the text.
We don't have to talk about it. We just have to say it.
Hey, man, you saw what Nick had to deal with online. So go right on ahead. You want to deal with that? You want to deal with that? You deal with that?
Oh, and do you want it?
Don't deal with that. Don't do it.
I would like to know what all the rage is about.
Please don't.
If it's going to put him in this much of a dander, I got to know what it is.
It's going to upset people.
I don't think it will.
It wasn't you.
It's tongue in cheek.
It's not Anthony.
No, it's not mine.
It is not Tone. It's not me.
This is good enough where I wish I could take ownership over this.
Don't do it.
Oh,
don't
you ready?
Don't you do it. No.
I am setting in wait.
Here we go.
Don't say this.
The three horsemen.
Oh, my God.
And the jockey.
You satisfied?
Glad I told you, Owen.
Well, it does get down to the bottom of why don't they interview the horse? We would definitely be able to do that now.
Oh my God, I found a video on Instagram where a guy's trying to interview the horse. I think I added you on it, didn't I?
I think I saw it, yeah.
Okay. That's just you just trying to get me through it because you don't want to bug it down even more. I got to be careful how I say this. There's a few. Flacco and Sons, QB Quartet, the Dollar Back Boys.
What?
Three Men and a Baby Hands.
That's good.
Lutarski Brothers. The Greg Brenda tweeted something at me that I got to go Google, so hold on. I mean, good God almighty. 98 QBs. From That's From Eric.
There's Nick Lachey in that, too.
He would probably have a pretty good chance to start for the Browns. Someone said, Boar on the four. That's a throwback there. That's a callback. Succession, you remember that?
Oink for your sausages, Piggy. Oink, oink. Tom, oink, oink. Oink. No, no. No half-hearted oink. I want full-hearted oink.
Oink, 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 oink.
On the count of three, the last Piggy to eat a sausage is the mole.
That doesn't seem like a very good system.
That is a audio courtesy of HBO. You got three grown men chasing each other around on all fours. That's power. 216-474-0092. All right, let me get to Hassan in Cleveland. Hello, Hassan.
Hey, guys. I love the show, man. I haven't talked to you in a while. I think we sometimes tend to overvalue the talent on our teams because we're homers. But if you look objectively, Evan Mobley is nicked up sometimes. He has the, for right or wrong, he has the tag like a lot of Cleveland Cavs teams have had. He's the softest of the softest. And when you look at Giannis, I mean, one thing he is, he's the most physically dominant player in the league. Of course, those two wouldn't be traded for each other. You know, the trade that I think we should make is Kuminga. I would put Garland, Strus, and Hassan and Ken in that package, and then we could get Kuminga and have a taller athletic two that can defend and score. Guys, have a great day. I want to listen to the response, but I'm up against punching the clock.
All right, Hassan,
do I finally get to do what I wanted to do?
What? Oh, there, man, it do it. You got it in front of you.
It's the trade machine.
We have fired up the trade machine. Anthony,
oh,
is
man.
That a viable trade?
Well, I'll just tell you this about Kuminga. He has never, until the most recent series against Minnesota, he's never shot the ball well. You just don't even have to guard him outside. He is an athletic freak. I will say the Cavs, we talk so much about Jared Allen. What are we going to do? Do we need to break up the guards? One thing they absolutely have to do, regardless of whether you believe in breaking up the core or not, they need athletes. Who are the athletes on the Cavs? The great athletes.
Like Okoro?
I mean,
sorry, you asked.
Yeah, Okoro is a
Mitchell?
Is a good defender. Well, Donovan in the peak of his powers, the way that he flies through, I mean, the Dwayne Wade comparisons I thought were apt. But by the end of the season, you know, he's hobbling so much that freak athletic stuff kind of takes a back burner, and then it's all his skill, right? And it's his smarts and getting himself to the foul line. But they don't have, normally your role players, that's where you want those guys to be, where they can challenge shots, get out and run. We don't have that. We're not that athletic. And I thought that was obviously when we played the Houston Rockets, in a regular season. We played even the Clippers. You know, they're an older team. Those teams just looked way more athletic than us. And the Pacers looked way more athletic than us.
Charles Barkley got in trouble last night. However, I think he told the truth.
Can you believe that he never made a defensive team?
I can't believe you were trying to wedge that in when I'm trying to tell him what the vote was for MVP.
I can't believe that's how these guys who vote don't know the
As Charles Barkley, who's probably right, even though he cussed on that's cable television he was on, right?
Oh, yeah, you can say it.
Yeah, don't hit the same.
I mean,
yeah,
he's joining the network of Pat McAfee. Who cares?
I think the network executives care.
Do they?
You and I don't care, and I don't think our listeners care. But I don't think
they do it five times a day in the middle of the day.
Right. I mean,
in barbershops and doctors' offices.
It's true.
World's changed.
Do you want
coarsening of society? Bill O'Reilly was
now
right.
Try it here, and you're getting dumped.
Yeah,
brother.
Like I'm coming in hot at this time tomorrow. It's gonna be awkward out in the hallway.
No. I think you know what.
Hope not.
I think you guys are gonna be stand up men. You're family.
We're
men.
We're gentlemen.
You're in the community. You're in the churches.
You're in the steeples.
I think you guys.
You open them up.
Here are the peoples.
Yeah, that's why. Here's what happens. I think he'll be fine.
Big thanks, everybody, who joined us today. Channing Frye. Go hear him. He was great. 92.3thefan.com. Mary Kay Cabot, Jim Orsarski, who joined us on the show. Tomorrow morning, 8:30 a.m. Studio. Kevin Bleeping Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski.
Kevin Stefanski.
In studio. Joins us on the show. Talk about the Keepers Foundation. Talk about the four-man race for quarterback. If he has any interesting nicknames for the four guys vying for quarterback for week one.
Does he sometimes mix them up?
You know what he'll do. Oh, yeah, like you do with your kids. Have you done that yet? I will go through the whole roster before I get it right.
I always say, which one are you?
Yeah. Oh, it's got to be hell on you, man.
Yeah, it's
hell.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.